Praise God. I had a good time worshiping the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Happy New Year. Hope you guys all had a wonderful time. Hope you didn't do what I did and Barbara. On New Year's Day, we went to Chinatown to have a quiet lunch. I didn't think there were that many Chinese people in Houston. They were all in Chinatown. And I think 50 to 70 in line outside Crown would be fair to say. Parking lot not allowing you to get in because there's too many cars. But praise God, we eventually got a place and we had a good time. But Happy New Year, and I believe this year can be an awesome year. God is going to do some awesome things. I just believe that. Would you pray with me as we look into the Word of God? Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord God, for your Word. And as we come on this new year, Lord, would you speak to our hearts, Spirit of the living God, would you allow us to just discover your word, illuminate it to us, allow us to understand it in the ways that you have designed it so that we can grow deeper in you. And perhaps, Lord God, there may be someone that doesn't know you here. If that is the case, Lord, would you speak to that person's heart today that this day will be the day of salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you ever heard anybody tell you, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And I know when I write my birthday cards, that's what I write to you, praying for you, and I do. I don't know if that means anything to you. Do you believe that something will be different because of that? I know that sometimes in a workplace, somebody needs a job or looking for a job, and they'll say something like, would you put in a good word for me to your boss or something like that, right? As if somebody coming that has some kind of influence will make a difference, right? Well, do you know something? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. I'm not sure if you have studied this passage, these verses today, like I have recently. It's an amazing thought that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. The work of the Holy Spirit, one of them is to intercede for us as God's people. So today, we want to look through these three verses, and I really would hope that you would go home and again study it. You know, get into some kind of commentaries, look through some books, and you discover more and more deeper. Sometimes 25 minutes is just not going to be enough to study the depths of God's word. But we will try today. The work of intercession. There are three thoughts here, and it comes from those three verses, and I want to share that with you. First of all, this Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word intercession is interesting because we believe in it. Barbara intercedes for you guys, for me, every single morning. She spends so much time praying, and a lot of people in this church, we do the same thing. When we intercede, do you know what that means? What does it mean to intercede for somebody? Well, the word intercession is this. It means that we are doing something to help somebody who cannot do it himself. There's been a few times in my life that I've been asked directly to intercede in kind of a physical way, in a worldly way, in a sense, not spiritually, and this is one of them. I was asked twice to go to court for somebody. Well, what happened was their children, they're young, about 16, 17 years old, they got involved in something. One was, well, actually a robbery. Another one was they got into drugs, and they got caught. In fact, the last one was about that. And I was asked to go to Fort Bend Juvenile Detention Center to intervene because I'm a pastor. The parents thought that, you know what? You're a pastor. You have power to intervene with a judge. They're wrong, actually, but it's a nice thought, right? It did happen when I was in New York, and they asked me, another set of parents asked me to intervene for their child because he was caught in a robbery. And they thought that the judge may let me take custody of him. And he did. So I intervened. I went to a place because of whatever I was as a pastor, a religious person, the judge trusted me. And because of my intervention and my intercession, that person received something he would not otherwise get. So when we intercede in prayer, you need to understand that's what it means. In fact, the Greek word here, huperentergainai, it's hard to say, is that word. It is to intercede in a situation where otherwise, well, that person has no chance. And that's what prayer is about. When we pray for people, we're not praying as just something, oh, it's going to happen, it's all right. No, we're praying and interceding for somebody because that person otherwise would not be able to get out of that, could not be able to receive something that he needs. That's what intercession is. And so when it says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and it says in the same way the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. You see, we are weak. We have things that we cannot do. For we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now I want to stop here for a moment. I wanted to talk about one thing that's happening in our society, in our Christian community, that is wrong. And that is, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, take this verse, verse 26, to mean this. I don't know how to get that. I've been trying to track it, and it just doesn't make any sense. But they want to use this verse to say, you see, every Christian needs to have a prayer language. And then when they say prayer language, they mean speaking in tongues. You see, the scripture in other places, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the gift of tongues because it says so in the Bible. In other places, it talks about the gifts, the spiritual gifts. You may have the gift of teaching. You might have the gift of preaching or other phrases that someone would consider it, the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues. People have that because God's people are given gifts. But nowhere does it say every single person needs to have the gift of tongues. So here is what they use. They use this verse and they say, you see this? It's not just a spiritual gift. It is the prayer language. This is how we pray. When we go before God, we pray this way because that's what it says. No, it doesn't say that at all. It says here that the Holy Spirit prays for us, intercedes for us, intercedes in such a way with groanings too deep for words. There's not even words. It is spiritual. So it is not us speaking. It is not us praying. It is the Spirit praying. But I just want to bring that out. I'm not going to go deep into it. We can talk about it more. If you hear this stuff out there, and it is out there, you need to know that is not the way you exegete the Word of God. This is not what the Word of God is saying. This is trying to make something, to say something that you want to believe in. But what the verse is saying is this, that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, and the Holy Spirit prays for us. You say, wait a minute, Holy Spirit prays for us? What does that mean? Wait, did you know that in the Bible, in the Trinity God, in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus, the Son, he prays for us? He talks about that in John 17. He talks about how he prays for the believers. He prays for his people. Jesus is praying for us. In fact, he is interceding for us at the right hand of God even right now. Most of the time, he's interceding for us. You know why? We are being accused all day long. We're being accused. As Christians, we get accused all the time. Did you know that? If you are a Christian, you're going to get accused. You're accused by the world. You're being a racist. You're being a bigot. You're being all kinds of stuff. You're being accused. And not only that, you're being accused by the enemy. He's accusing, oh, he's a sinner. He's no good. He's this and that all day long. He didn't live a good life. Why would you want him? He doesn't deserve salvation and all that. But Jesus, at the right hand of God, is interceding for us against these accusations. Accusation is what the enemy does. Sometimes it's part of our community, it's part of Christians. Christianity is like that. We get accused. As Christians, we are going to get accused. Every once in a while, you read stories of pastors and Christians in perhaps in Turkey, perhaps in other countries, where they get detained, they get arrested. Why? Because they're spies. They're not spies. It's just because they're Christians. Those are the things that happen. But not only does Jesus pray for us, also the Holy Spirit prays for us. He prays for us in our weaknesses. You say, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, we as God's people, we can see certain things, we can know certain things, and we can behave a certain way. But there's so many things about us that we don't even know ourselves. There are weaknesses in our lives. There are situations because of how we were raised, because of the sin nature, because of the mortal body that we're still in, that we don't even know how to pray. We just assume we pray this way. But the Holy Spirit does. He knows everything because he is God. and he prays for us. Not only that, one of the things that is fascinating to me is every one of you, I know you guys have it, some of you using right now, you have a cell phone. You know, you push a certain amount of buttons and next thing you know, things come up. How does that happen? How does all this information happen? Because there are things flying across this room. There's Wi-Fi going on. If you get the right thing, it would be able to take and receive certain things. So just because we don't see it, doesn't mean they're not there. I want you to understand as well, in the spiritual world in which we live in a physical world, yes, but it is a very spiritual world. There are things here. There's situations in this room. There's situations in this facility. There's situations in this city that you don't know about. There are beings that are out there because the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual principalities and so on and so forth. They're there. They're plotting things on you. There's all kinds of situation. If the enemy could have his way, he would just kill all of us, ruin all our lives. We'd drive out of the parking lot, next thing you know, a truck would hit every one of us. That's what he would like. But he can't do that. Why? Because the Almighty God is protecting us. It's not only that, the Spirit of God is praying for us, interceding for us. This is what the scripture is talking about. The Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us, and he intercedes for us in ways that we can't even imagine. In groanings, desires, too deep for words. You don't need to know that. It's great to know that the Spirit of God is praying for us. It's important that we pray as well. It's important that we trust the Lord in answering prayer. And he does. The second thing we find here in verse 27 is not only does the Holy Spirit pray for us, but it says, and he who searches, and if you don't have your Bible, you can follow along with that sheet that I've given to you. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Isn't that interesting? Who is that he? Who searches the heart? If you go into the Word of God, you'll find there's a heart searcher, I call him. I like that. I like that phrase, heart searcher. He is God, God the Father. He's the one who sees our hearts, you know. Man look in the outward, right, the scripture says, but God looks in the heart. He knows what's inside of us. We can't hide anything from him. He who searches the heart of men, guess what? He listens to the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit prays for us. There are things in your life right now that you need so desperately. You might not even know about it at all. In fact, most of the times we probably don't. If we're struggling through something, we say, Lord God, you know, I need your grace to handle this. A certain situation, we say, will you change the circumstance? And you don't even know what the future is. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows what to pray for. And as he prays, the interesting thing is the Almighty God answers. He answers, and as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, intervening on our behalf, the Almighty God answers. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced an answered prayer that is just so clear, so crystal clear, that if you don't believe that it was from God, you will be sinning, literally. God does something in your life. They say, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that God just did this, because he did. I hope you have experiences like that, because as God's people, we should. We should have a lot more of those kind, because the Holy Spirit is praying for us, interceding in our lives. The last verse, I want to spend a little time on this one. This is important. This one I think is really important, because a lot of scriptures are taken out of context. A lot of scriptures are used in different ways by the world and sometimes by the Christians as well. But this verse is one that is always taken out of context. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. This is important. The world goes around saying a few things. Barbara and I were talking about some of the verses that the world takes out of context. One of them is, the truth shall set you free. Right? You hear that? And they're not even talking about God's truth at all. They're just talking about, you're honest. If you're honest, you're going to be free from things. The truth shall set you free. Way out of context. This is a verse, too. That all things work together for good. They just kind of use that. As if there's a fatalistic concept in this world. That, you know what, this is going to happen. Everything will come back and it's going to work out for well. We use that a lot. Even in the church, we do that. And we take things out of context, we leave things out, we leave words out, we leave phrases out, Because we just want to believe that. We want to believe that, okay, it's a bad thing today, but it's going to work out. We talk to each other that way. We try to encourage one another that way. It's going to work out. Don't worry about it. It's going to work out. You lost your job. It's going to work out. You know? This is a hard situation. It's going to work out. I want to tell you something. It doesn't always work out. Some situations are so bad. It's just so bad. It's not a good situation. It's not even something you can learn a lesson from. And when we say those things to people, I want to tell you what happens. Sometimes you encourage people, but sometimes you discourage them to a place where they said, I'm not interested in the Christian faith. They're fake. They're just people that are just in denial. It's a bad thing. You can't say it's a good thing. You're just living in denial, they say. Instead of walk out, you know. So somebody in some your family dies and somebody says, it's going to work out. You say, how does that work out? Understand, death happens, we know. That's the worst, right? Well, what happens when a five-year-old gets killed? I was in a funeral when this one young man who was 16 years old, he was in a party. Doorbell rang. He went out, opened door. The guy was outside looking for somebody, but because he was there, he shot him and killed him right there. I met with the parents, went to the funeral. I tell you, I couldn't use that phrase. I couldn't use that verse. There's just no way I can tell these parents that their 16-year-old boy was killed, executed, murdered, accidentally. It wasn't even him. It wasn't his fault. He was just an innocent guy. I cannot tell him all things are going to work out for good. That's just ridiculous. To tell someone like that deserved to be kicked out of the place. So we need to be careful what the scripture says. How does this work? Now, in Romans 8, you got to understand, it is the Holy Spirit telling us, it's the scriptures telling us that the Holy Spirit is ministering in our lives, not only giving us salvation. Remember, when we're born again, who gives us born again status? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. In the process of being born again, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and he's changing us, he's sanctifying us, the word is, to be like the Lord. But because we live in this mortal body, and until we die or the Lord returns, this mortal body is going to keep us in sin. We shouldn't live in sin, but every once in a while, we're struggling with this. And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about who's going to get me out of this. I hate doing what I'm doing. So the Holy Spirit's going to do that. So what does it mean here in verse 28? That God causes all things to work together for good. So here, as we look at the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, here are the things that we need to look at in this verse. First of all, it is God that causes. It is his work. It's not that all things are going to work together for good. No, God causes it. God is the one. He's the doer of the work. He's the one. And this is really important. And it says all things, good things, bad things, terrible things. All things. The phrase here in Greek is theon panta sunage. Theon panta sunage. Panta is all things. Not just the good things, not just the easy things, all things. And sunage is the word for that we use called synergy. That's why I use a phrase there. It means synergy. It works together. God causes all things to work together. For good. Now let me tell you what this word good means. It's really important. The word good here is agathon. This word, this good, you know, in English, good, good, good. All right, that tasted good. That dinner was good. That was a good time. You know, we talk about things like that. So we use this word good. It's kind of like love. We do the same thing with love. But Greek is different. Deeper, deeper language. It describes things differently. And this word for good, agathon, is not the same word like this is a good dinner. No. This agathon word is a moral goodness. It's an eternal goodness. God works all things for eternally and morally good. Different. Very different. So when a person is persecuted, thrown in jail, executed somewhere in the Middle East somewhere, let's say, a missionary, how is that good? The family can't say that's good. He says, young man, this young family, you know, it's a terrible thing, but there is good in it because God is working. He's synergizing those things around that situation, he is going to cause to work for good in eternity. People's lives are going to be affected. They are going to change. The eternity of many souls will be drastically changed because of it. That's the good thing about it. This is important for us to know. So when we go through a tough situation, we need to understand that God is in the process of causing good, eternally good things, morally good things to happen in that circumstance, with that person, with that family, with that scene. That's what it's about. And it is God that's doing it. It doesn't just do it. It is not karma. It doesn't just happen. God is actively working in that situation. But one more phrase here that's really important too. It says, for to those who love God. It is not happening to every situation, to every person. It is only to those who love God. Agaposi is the phrase for that, the word for that, to those who love God. And who loves God? Who loves God? It's certainly not just the world. In fact, I'm doing a Sunday school later, there's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to talk about those who love and not love God in this world, even if they go to church. Those who love God, it says here, and you know what it is? Those are God's people. Those are believers. You say, well, what does that mean? And the word is agaposi. It is the word for agape. Agape, right? That is the word. It is not an emotional loving of God. It is a deep God's love, unconditional love of God. How God loves us, we love him back. This is the kind of love. And you cannot have that unless you are born again, believer in Jesus Christ. And so those who love God, these are God's people. So God works all things, good things, bad things, difficult things, all things. He puts it all together for good, for eternal and moral good to those who know him, who love God. And if you want to know who loves God, it should be God's people, Christians. John 14, 15 says, this is important too. It says, if you love me. So if you love God, what does it mean? I have an affection for God. You know, I wake up, I'm just so glad God is alive and I'm alive. Is that what it means? No. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God's people, those who love him, will love God, will love the things of God, will keep the commands of God. You know, when, as Barbara is encouraging every week and different teachings and all about prayer, let me tell you, you love God, you want to pray. I love Barbara so much. We've been married for almost 40 years now. I'll tell you, I can't wait to go home. I love spending time with her. Yesterday, we took a day off and went to Brenham. I had a great time. I didn't do anything. I just sat in the car and drove. But she was next to me. That's all that matters. I love my wife. You know, when you love someone, you want to spend time with that person. You just do, don't you? I love my grandchildren. That's why every once in a while, we fly up to New York, brave the traffic, pay astronomical hotel fees and everything, so we can see them for a couple of days. Because I love them. That's what we do. So if you love God, do not tell me that you don't want to pray. You don't spend time praying. You don't spend time with the Lord. How in the world can you prove to anybody you love anything? How can you love God? What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, etc., right? That's right. That's right. So here it is, verse 28. Use it. This is a great verse. It's a great verse of encouragement. It is a great verse, especially if you're going through rough times. Use this verse, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for eternal, moral good, to those who love God, to me, for me. You can say that. God is making a promise to you. This is a promise. But when God makes a promise, don't take it out of context. Do not do what people. Do not be eisegeting anything. Do not make things up. This is what the scripture says. to those who are called according to his purpose. Isn't that great? I love that. I just love the word of God because it just encourages me. I see this, man, God has given me a promise. I can claim this promise. I would say, God, you remember, you said you're going to work together for good. All these things, this difficult situation, I'm not expecting that this difficult situation is going to turn into a good situation. It doesn't matter, but that situation you are using to turn into good for eternally and morally. That I can be guaranteed because you promised it. And I love you because I know you. And you saved my life. These three verses, so precious. You know, the Spirit of God is interceding for us. He's interceding for our church. The ministry that we have here. The lives that are impacted here. He's working every single moment. Not just during worship time like now. I'm just praising the Lord. He does that every single day. Excited about the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity as we pray in a moment and also as the worship team comes up again. You know, if you want to just meet the Lord, you just want to speak to the Lord, this Lord speaking to your heart about something, whether you want to give your life to the Lord or you just want to say, God, I want my life to change. I want my life to be a spiritual life. I am tired of living out this kind of worldly life. I know you have something better for me. I want to invite you to come up, and you know that, and right here in the seats. Some people will come and pray with you. Just pray with you. God is a good God. He has a great plan for you and for me. And this year, I believe, is going to be a great year. I can't wait. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for the fact that you love us. You have a great and awesome plan for each one of us. And Lord, until you come back and you return, or our lives are ended and we meet you in heaven, Lord, we want to live out that life. Spirit of the living God, I thank you so much that you pray for us. You intercede on our behalf so that God can do great and awesome things in our lives. And Father, we know that there are a lot of difficult situations. Sometimes we live it out. Sometimes we just worry about it. But Lord God, you made a promise for us. We believe it. We believe it. We thank you because you're a real God. You're a faithful God. You will never, never, never fail us. Father, I want to pray for people here. Wherever we are, wherever the person may be, would you minister in only ways you can? And again, thank you for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.